Jonah, the prophet. And look at that first chapter. We'll start right there. I did a part one here, and I'd like to say that in part one, when God calls, we must answer. To turn God away is the most detrimental thing that you could ever do.
Oh, yes.
Your only safe place to be is with God, in His presence, obeying Him. It is your only safety and your only security in an evil world. To be outside of God's love and will is the scariest and most fearful and dangerous place to be. You know, God knew all about me when He saved me. He called me.
Yes.
The wrong gang that I ran with, the Lord knew they'd be back around to knock on my door. Try to get me to go back and get in the car with them and run with them. And I never will forget, I was working midnight at that time. I had my clock set to go off to get up. And right before that alarm clock went off, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, there was a midnight blue Chevelle. That's what I used to ride in. And the driver of that car is dead today and in hell on a drug overdose. God showed me in that dream, I was on the sidewalk there going around the park, walking around the park where the fountain's at, back this way on 8th Street there. And I remember I was walking, and in that dream, it was so vivid and so clear. Those three boys that I ran with, the car come a rolling around through the park there and made a turn. And the boys was hanging out the window saying, "Come on." And I saw in that dream a gleam in their eyes. "Come on, man. Come on, man. Get back in the car with us. Come on." I never will forget the gleam in their eyes and just like a smirky smile. "Come on, man." You know what God did? God gave me a scariest dream I've ever had in my life. One of the scariest I've ever had in my life. There was a huge storm. A whirlwind came through. The sky just turned as black and dark as it could. It looked like the wind was going to blow the trees over. The wind picked me up and blew me on the top of one of those big oak trees there, and I was hanging on for dear life. And the wind was blowing me back and forth like this, back and forth, back and forth. The boys knew that I wouldn't get in the car, and I saw the car go out of sight up 8th Street like that. Ring! The alarm clock went off. And the Holy Ghost said to me, "Don't you ever, they'll be back up here. They're going to call you. They're going to knock on your door. They're going to honk their horn. And they will want you to go get back with them and run with them. Don't you do it." I want to tell you, there's things in our life, God wants to instill the fear of God in you. He'll give you dreams. There'll be things happen to, around you. And God allows that for your eyes to open to see that it's dangerous when you get away from Him. God saved me, gloriously washed me in Jesus' blood and forgave me, and I was born again. But I wanted to keep that. Sure enough, the car came right down the driveway, 20 years of age. Honk, honk. I went out. And I told the driver of the car, I said, "Turn the car off and you all get out." I said, "There's three of them. My dad's breezeway right there and the bricks and stuff where he pulled his car in. I sat right there. We could look at the road and I could see their car. He turned the car off. All of us lined up right there with the back, our backs against the brick house. They looked at me like I was crazy. What is he doing?" And I said, "Boys," and it was just starting to turn dark. And the stars was beginning to twinkle in the sky. I said, "Boys," I said, "look up there in the sky." And all three of them, there they looked up. I said, "Do y'all see them stars?" They looked at one another and looked at me and said, "Yeah." I said, "The one that made them and hung them in the sky saved me the other night." And I said, "I love Him, and He's forgiven me of my sins. And I said, I've got peace for the first time and joy in my soul. I said, I gave my heart to God and I feel like I'm all right inside and I'm serving the Lord now. Woo! They made another trip up there and honked the horn and said, Tommy, hey man, come on. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go down to Triple H Drive-In on 152 at Burnt Lavalette and all we'll do is get a Coke and a hot dog. The Lord brought back that dream to me and said, you remember the dream, son? Fear me and keep my commandments. If you give in a little bit, they'll lure you back and you'll be right back in the same shape that you was in. Raise your little hand. I don't want to get near it. I don't want to get close to it because God called me out of it and he sanctified me. And if I brush elbows and brush shoulders with the same old crowd, it won't be long until I'll be right back a pulling. That old magnet will pull up on my soul again and it'll pull me right back into that bad shape. Woo! I'm glad for the fear of Almighty God. It's a healthy fear. It's a good fear that you say heaven's going to be worth everything I give up and everything that I turn aside. I'm glad I gave it up and I came to Jesus. Hallelujah. I've had phone calls. I've had visits. But you know what I did? I looked into that pit that God brought me out of. I looked back at the drugs and the alcohol. I looked at the bar stools and I said, it ain't worth it. I thank God for setting me free. I don't want back in that pit and that mire no more. Raise your hand and praise him. If you've made a good start, keep it going in the right direction. I said, if Jesus has touched you, hold on to that feeling. Hold on to that good feeling and say, I ain't going to let nobody, a family, friends, neighbors, turn me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Blessed
be God. To answer God's call and serve him, there will be a peace down in your heart. Deep in your soul that you know that the Lord is pleased with you. He's with you. You're in his favor. And no matter what happens in your life, you've got God on your side and you know he's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
God was telling Jonah, I got a work for you to do. I got a place for you to go and to serve me. But Jonah turned aside and went away from the presence of the Lord. Do you know? Do you believe that there are lessons to learn from others?
Yes.
How many can right now in your mind go back and see where people ended up on the rocks?
Yeah.
Their ship was broken apart and they went down in the angry ways. They died and they're not here now. They lived a short life and it's over. Come on. We learn by others' mistakes. We see where they go, what they got involved in. We see their downfall. And it teaches us to don't go that route.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I've seen many, Brother George around me, I went to school with. Their lives ended up in a broken mess, shattered and in pieces. Their body is in a grave this morning, and their soul is in hell. I don't want that to happen to me. Hey, Jonah, come. I want you. I'm calling you. I want you to serve me.
Hey.
Oh, God. Now the word of the Lord, Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, get up, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. I got a message for you to give to them. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. What?
Yeah.
From the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I want you to know that the devil doesn't always cause or send the storms.
Yes.
Not always. But God does at times to awaken our conscience on the inside. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Can't you see the evil? Are you aware of the wickedness around you? Are you aware of the evil and the circumstances that surround you? God, awaken the conscience. God is saying, I want you. Do you know why God sends storms into our life? It's to draw us closer to Him. He does it to draw us from our purpose and what we want in life to what He wants in life. It awakens us to our need for Him. Lord, I cannot make it on my own. I got to have you. We never really see our need for God until trouble comes. The Lord has a way of pressing a cry out of our heart for Him. Thank God for the times that He shakes us and He awakens us for our need for Him. I cannot, hallelujah, serve God on my own. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the indwelling Spirit of God to enable me to live above sin and awake from sin and out of sin. You've got to have Jesus. Give Him a praise. Wave your hand to Him. I can't do it on my own. My flesh is too weak. The carnal side of me will drag me back into darkness of sin. But the light of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is my keeper. It's my anchor. It's my preserver. The Spirit of Christ is what we need in this hour. Hallelujah. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
You gotta have Him. I said you gotta have Him. You gotta have Him stronger in you than the pull of this world around you.
Yes.
Amen.
Bless
the
Lord.
Oh, Jesus. God's wanting you to cry to Him. Listen. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof, and then they mount to the heaven on the top of the waves. Then they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. How many has ever been at wits' end?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I can't handle this no more. Man, I feel Him.
Come on, come on.
What do I do now, Jesus? I'm at a point, it's good to ride above the waves, Lord, in life. But it's in that valley of the waves when it looks for sure that I will be overcome and I will sink to rise no more. What then?
What then?
What then? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are stilled. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. How many want to go to heaven this morning? How many wants your ship one of these days to pull in safe to the harbor? He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. That's the reason. That's the reason problems come. That's the reason sorrows come. That's the reason battles come. The devil hates you for living. He'll throw every fiery dart he's got at you. He'll throw every temptation he's got at you. Somewhere right in the middle of all of that whirlwind, God begins to speak to you, and he'll let you feel like for sure that you're going to go down. You know why? Because he's wanting your whole heart. Raise your hand and praise him. I said he's wanting your whole heart to cry to him, Jesus, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I can't save myself. And when we cried at the very depths, I cried. They cried unto the Lord, and he brought them out. Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy, holy, holy. Stay with me. God's going to speak to us. Then the mariners were afraid on that boat. The captain was scared to death. And they all cried, every one of them, to their gods, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. If I was on board of a boat and I was out in the sea, Brother Jason, and I had all kind of cargo on that boat, I had what I thought was important to me, what I like, on board of that old boat, that big boat, and I had it loaded, baggages, and I had it loaded with this and loaded with that. If there come a storm bad enough, I would think, is it worth hanging on to all of this stuff and going down? Come on. What was their effort to stay afloat? All the cargo, all the wares of the ship, the captain says, man, if you all don't do something, we're going to go down. If you don't do something and get rid of some things in your life, you are going to go down. The devil's a plan for keeps. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And before I go down, I was taught and raised in church. It was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They preached on the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, it came to pass that he died. And while they were burying him, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and in hell. And he cried for one drop of water out of cool his tongue. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. I was raised that way. This is the Bible. This is what Jesus said. A certain rich man fared sumptuously every day, had everything that he wanted, that his heart cherished. He had it. He had the possessions, but he didn't have Jesus.
Come on now.
I'm going to save my boat. I said, I'm going to save my soul.
Amen,
brother. I said, I'm going to save my family. I'm going to save whatever it takes. I'm going to save my children. If I have to unload some stuff and throw it over the rail, man, I feel God. Raise your other hand. Hallelujah. I want to stay afloat in life. I don't want to sink. I don't want to drown. Come on, people are drowning in iniquity.
Amen.
I love you too much not to tell you the truth. I said, I love you too much not to preach this gospel. It'll be worth everything that you give up, everything that you sacrifice, everything that you get off and board to be able to live. Hallelujah. And serve God. Man, I feel him this morning. Hey, what is it? What is it in our life that's worth more than our eternal soul?
You know it. Yes, you're right, but
what is it you're holding on to? I preached a long time ago, Brother Tony. I preached on a message. If you don't get rid of it, it will get rid of you. Hey, Lord, raise your hand. There's some things that we need to get rid of.
Hey, man. You're right, Brother Tony.
I've stepped out that door on my back deck many times and got the broom. Spider webs all in the pipe, in between those spindles, and up here on where the ceiling is. And I'd take a broom, especially in the morning, you know, and I'd sweep in cobwebs and webs, spider webs down. He'd come to me one day, says, "Hunt the spider. If you get rid of the spider," oh my, he cut off. Oh, Lord, if you get rid of what's causing your temptation, if you get rid of those webs, hallelujah, whatever it is, a spider, come on, he's a type of the devil. The Lord told me, he said, if you want to get rid of the webs, how many has ever been walking somewhere and got it right in your face, that sticky stuff? Oh, my Lord, it gets in the corner of your eye and you have to pluck it out of your eyelids. Lord God Almighty, I don't want nothing of this world to stick to me. Hallelujah, kill the spider. Raise your hand, kill the spider. Get the spider out of your life. You'd be surprised that the devil comes along. He's got a voice. He pulls. He draws at you. He knows exactly how to pull on your strings. He knows what tempts you. He knows exactly what it is that binds you and drags you away. Hallelujah. Get it out of your eyes. I said, get it out of your face. I turn and get away from it.
Come on, Bertrand. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is what the Lord's doing this morning. He's instilling fear in some people's hearts. 1 year from right now. 1 year from right now. Look around you. Look all around you right here. Look at everybody. Look at the pastor. Look at my wife. Look at Brother George. Look at all these. You on the back seats. 1 year from now, where will you be?
Where will you be?
Where will you be? 1 year from now. You could be serving God. You could still be faithful to Him. You could have more of the Lord and feel victory in your soul. But 1 year from now, where will you stand in the eyes of God? Where will you be?
Come on.
Where will you be? Will the devil own you? Will the devil have you? Will the world control you? Or will you be with Jesus? Raise your hand and praise Him.
Amen. Glory to God.
I don't even know if I could even finish this morning, man. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. I want to tell you, nobody can help you but Jesus.
That's right.
They casted the wares and the cargo of the ship into the sea, the lightning. But Jonah was gone down, down, down. This is the fourth down. If I know, oh, my Lord. If I know anything about football, the fourth down, that's it, my friend. If you don't make it to the goalpost, the opponent will get the ball and they'll score and you'll lose.
Yeah.
Woo! I don't want to lose. I'm in the game of life. And I'm going to be a winner. I said I'm going to be a winner. I want the Lord to say to me that day, Brother Scotty, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things that I put in your life. Now you can be a ruler over many. Enter now into the joys of the Lord. It'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it.
But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, the fourth down, and he lay and was fast asleep.
Fast asleep.
Oh, what people will do to ignore God, what God wants out of them. When you obey the Lord, it not only saves you, but it will save others.
Amen.
I've heard of precious wives stay true to God. Their husbands would threaten them. I've read stories.
Yeah.
Don't you go down to that revival. Don't you go down to that church. You know why? Because he's under conviction. You get pretty raw when you're under conviction. God's a dealing with you. That's why you act so mean sometimes. And God's a pulling on you. So is the devil. The devil don't want you to surrender to God. So you act mean. You act the part. I'm tough. I don't have to do that. I don't want that. And that wife remained faithful to God and kept it going and serving the Lord. Her husband saw something in her that she loved the Lord. It was getting a hold of her heart. I read a story where a woman, she had an atheist husband that hated God. He didn't want anything to do with religion. She went down and got saved in a revival, gloriously saved. Her son followed her down to, I think it was a tenth service, and gave his heart to Jesus. Now he was outnumbered. What's he going to do? She set the table for breakfast and set it for the dinner time. She said, honey, I wish you'd go to church. I don't want nothing to do with it. She said, listen to this. She said, can I do just one thing? Said, I know you don't want to go to church. You don't believe in God. But can I do one thing before we eat? He said, if you want to. She said, all I want to do is just read one scripture before each meal that we eat when we sit down at this table. He said, all right. He said, since I don't believe in God, that ain't gonna, it ain't gonna help me, that ain't gonna hurt me. He says, if that's what you want to do, just read a scripture.
Yeah.
Breakfast time rolled around. He sat over there. He didn't even pick up his fork, and he did it. Allow her to read a scripture, and she went through the Bible and got different scriptures about Jesus, the cross, the blood, heaven, hell. She began to read one, just one scripture a day. Days went by, days went by. She could tell a change was in him. Change was in him. His bedroom was upstairs. This time he was late for service, late for the breakfast table. She hollered up the stairs and called his name and said, hey, breakfast is on the table. And he come just like a broken man down those steps. She said, I could look in his face and I saw his cheeks wet where he'd been crying. Said he sat down at the table. She said, what's wrong with you, honey? He said, I didn't tell you this. He said, all that Bible that you read to me and the scriptures that you read to me, he said, I can't explain it. He said, something was gripping my heart. He said, I couldn't take it no more. And I saw Jesus in you. And I just got done asking him upstairs if he would give me what you got. Raise your hand and praise him.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise glory, Jesus. Glory. This thing is real.
Jesus.
I said it's real. I want to tell you something to help you. Every church service that we have, come faithful to it. For everyone that you miss, you'll get a little weaker. But each time you come, you get stronger. You get stronger. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you'll feel these old binds and these old fetters are breaking off of you. It takes the Holy Ghost. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.
Amen.
God was telling Jonah, I got a work for you to do and a place for you to go to do my will. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Three times in the above scriptures, Jonah went down, down, down.
Down, down, down.
When you go away from God, the call of God, your road will go down.
Yeah.
Your self-appointed path will descend downward into heartbreak and trouble.
Yeah.
Do you know why Jonah would not go to the city of Nineveh? Anybody know why?
Israel's enemy.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to go to take God's message of mercy and preach to the people to get them saved.
Yeah.
It was because Nineveh was very evil and cruel, and they were a barbaric people that liked to fight and war. And Israel, God's children, hated them.
Yeah.
They were afraid of them. Jonah wanted God to destroy them. It is estimated that there were 1 million people living in Nineveh. It was the largest city in the known world at that time. Their city was prosperous. It was fortified with a tall wall that reached 50 miles around it. The wall was so wide on top, history says that they could ride 3 chariots abreast side by side on top of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Stand on one side and look across the city, it would reach 20 miles to the other side. Some cities and people believe that they're beyond the reach of God's hand of judgment. No, you ain't. You're that close. Every soul in this world, you're that close to judgment.
That close.
Yes, they were very prosperous, but within their gates, there was a people. Listen. Hundreds of thousands of precious souls that were lost.
Destruction was at their doorstep.
Yeah.
They didn't know God. And they were all headed to hell. And none of them was aware of it. Oh, Jonah, where's your burden?
Where's your burden?
Don't you know God's heart, Jonah? It breaks the heart of God to see every soul plunge into eternity without Him.
Yeah.
It breaks God's heart.
Praise God.
The Spirit of God cries, "It's not my will that any perish, but all come to repentance and be saved." In essence, Jonah was a saying, "God, I don't want to go. I don't like those people. They're no good. They're not worthy. Go ahead and send judgment. Israel is your people, so let those bad people die. We're special to you, Lord, but they ain't. Why would you call and send me to that evil nation?" Do you know what God's answer was back to Jonah? At the end of the book, the Lord tells Jonah, "There are 120,000 in that city that cannot discern between their right hand and their left." You don't see them like I do, Jonah. You see them as no good and not worth saving. But I look right down into the depths of their heart. I see 120,000 precious innocent souls, our children that don't even understand or know about me. Hallelujah.
No. These people don't realize they're headed into eternity lost. I want to save them. Jonah, I'll show them mercy if you'll go. Whew. If you'll preach, go warn them. The message right now this morning is God is a warning us. If you'll take my message and go warn them, they'll repent of the evil. Go, Jonah. Go before it's too late. I want to ask you, and I'm going to close this right here. I don't feel like going any farther with it. Do you really comprehend, everybody in the house? Do you really comprehend and know how many souls 120,000 of them are? Do you? Just suppose our church, look around you. Just suppose our church here this morning held 100 people. It would be like filling up our congregation 1,200 times and then dumping them all into eternity without Jesus and dumping them into hell. Fill it up. Put 100 in here. And then God takes them and dumps them into hell. Fill it again the second time. Fill it up 1,200 times. That is precious souls that are dying lost without God. Yeah. Would you stand with me this morning, Holy Lord of Heaven?
Oh God
of Heaven, you're here and you heard the word of God. You're here and God is calling. You're here, you see your condition. You know your shortcomings. You know what you need.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, Lord. Hallelujah. She begins to play and sing this morning. How stubborn and self-willed can a person be? Jonah thought if he could run fast enough, Brother George, and far enough away from God, he'd get away from the call and the draw. He wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. God would forget all about it. Wrong. You're wrong, Jonah. From where Jonah was when God called him to Joppa, and Joppa and Israel to Nineveh was 500 miles. But instead of boarding a ship and heading northeast to the city of Nineveh to preach to those souls, Jonah set off on a voyage to Tarshish, which is 2,500 times farther away. It was the most western point of the known world. Can we pray this morning? I don't want to go farther away from God, but I want to get closer. I don't want to go farther. Come on, I don't want to go away from God, but I want to go to God.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Let's cry to God. Cry to God.
Where will you be? I'm coming from God.
Jesus. Pray, children, till you cry. Pray till the tears
flow. Will you be saved?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I got family dying and going to hell. Oh Lord. Parents, children, lost, going to hell. It's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. Come on, children, cry. Get where God wants you. Draw near to Him right now, as close as you can get.
From the moment of our birth till the time has come to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny.
Jesus. Where will you be this time next year? Where will you be 10,000 years?
Oh, man.